Dude, this is going to be the best bonus episode ever!
We were joined by the fabulous, the amazing...
Not we were, we are. This is an intro. Let's start again.
No, but that's what we always do. We always say, we talk about this
okay,
and that.
Okay, let's try it again.
Okay.
Zach, can you cut that out? Thanks. Ethnically ambiguous bonus episode!
Bonus episode! Oh my god, we're so excited today.
This is Anna.
And Shireen.
And we have the best episode ever for you.
It is... The guest today is just fabulous and genuine and truly... I'm fainting as I'm speaking.
Guys, our guest is Shangela, aka DJ Pierce, and let's just say this episode gives us life.
Gives me so much life. Talking to Shangela was honestly a dream come true because... It's just everything I ever wanted.
Yeah, Shireen and I both death drop after this episode. We both are dead.
Yeah, so... our legs are all broken. We have all broken legs. We are talking to you from wheelchairs. Mm. It's just we'll see you in physical therapy.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are ethnically ambiguous.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, Anna.
We've made it!
I'm hyperventilating. I'm so excited today.
So this is a very special episode. It got planned very late notice because I was emailing back and forth trying to make this happen like a crazy person.
Yeah, and I'm very glad you did.
I
respect your mad woman tendencies so
yes,
much more today.
I am crazy on email.
Yeah, she really is. I get so many texts from you and emails from you a day. Like, we don't even see each other every day.
Yeah,
but
I gotta keep the business going.
Yeah, yeah.
I got an email from Jason Smith. I was in Berlin. I got this email. I start freaking out.
Jason Smith of Starburns Industries.
I start walking around in circles being like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And he's literally just being like, do you want this person on your podcast? And I'm like, but the way he phrased it is like, I don't want to put you out.
Right.
Which I was like, are you out of your
mind? Do you want to do some community service or something?
Yeah. And I was like, yes, book it. And then, you know, that whole process happened. I sent 1,000 emails.
And then he texted me and I was like, yeah, like, are you kidding? Like, why are you even asking me? Just book the show.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't even ask you. I'm like, look, it's not even your choice. We're having this person on the show. But to give you some background, this person, I mean, I'm just going to introduce you and then I'll tell you how I have come across you in my life. This is Shangela.
Oh, hallelujah. Here I am.
Shangela, aka awesome. DJ Pierce.
Yes.
I was
AKA all of them. Yeah, well, we came up with on Daily Zeitgeist, which you guys have heard before this drops, but Hallalisi.
Yes, because you know I'm a super Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah. I have to admit that on the way here, I was listening to your most recent episode about the Game of Thrones episode that just. Well, I mean, when you listen to this, Game of Thrones will be over. But But you were talking about the fifth episode and I hated it so much, but like, I mean, I just had a lot of problems with it, but you voiced all my problems so well and it was just so nice to just, like, I don't know, it was a great, I just love the way you talk about it.
Well, we're part of a community. I think a lot of times that we share, because we are so invested in the show, a lot of us who have watched it, that we share a lot of the same feelings on certain stuff. So the frustrations that a lot of people in the world are feeling right now with the most recent episode, I was totally echoing those. And I was like, what? I call myself the Daenerys Stormborn of Drag. Honey, I have t-shirts as Daenerys. I'm going to have to put them 75% off if things don't go any better.
I heard you say that on the podcast and I was like, oh. I was like on the way to meet you and I was like, this is a great day.
Thank y'all so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming to do the show. That's funny because I watch the show peripherally. My boyfriend watches it all the time. I was just in the background. I've learned I can't ask questions anymore because they don't like that. They don't like if you're like, wait, so, but I watch it. But the thing is, like, you know, I'm on Twitter, so I know everything that's happening.
Yeah.
I know everything.
You can't be on Twitter and not have any spoilers or whatever.
I've known everything that's happening, and I only just kind of watch it out of the side of my, you know, like the corner of my eye being like, what's that? Oh, damn, that's crazy. And then, like, but then, you know, like, people don't like when you comment, like, oh, she's going to chop his head off. And they're like, you don't know that? I'm like, this show is literally chopping heads off.
Yeah, that's actually
I know
a good
this
summary.
Is coming.
Yeah, it's a good summary.
Which is, but, I don't know, maybe one day I'll watch it all the way through, but...
I saw a funny tweet that was like, Game of Thrones is just a lady with the dragons fighting evil snowmen.
And this is like a couple episodes because of the, those like, but the like white, white dudes.
Walkers. I, just,
like,
white evil, walkers. I thought evil.
Yes, there you go. Look at you.
I know what's going on.
I just
on.
Think the evil snowmen really crept me up. I was like, that's just great.
Also, probably. Everyone in this office watches it. So like, you know, yeah. It's well, hard anyway, not to know everything that's going on.
I don't want
to
talk about Game of Thrones. We want to talk about
But we will because that's what you have a podcast.
Yeah.
But
the show that you're known for, if you guys are living under a rock, is RuPaul's Drag Race. You're the only contestant that's been on the show 3 seasons, which is incredible. Like, it's obvious you're a fan favorite, which is so cool.
That's really cool to hear. Thank you. You know what? I think that people have an attachment to me maybe from RuPaul's Drag Race because I've been just there so long. Mm-hmm. I was originally on season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race as a baby. I was the first one voted out. I came back in a box to compete mm-hmm. again on yeah. season 3 of Drag Race. Thank you. So yeah. No box has ever been safe again, no. Girl. I came back, not to compete, but as a joke on season 4 in a box again. I came back out of Jujubee's body on All Stars 2 as gag. And then I came back to compete again in a Tiffany's box, upgrade, on All Stars 3 of Drag Race. And then most recently just came back on the Hollis Lay Spectacular. So yes. I think any fans of Drag Race just have been able to attach to me because I've been there as long as they have a lot of times.
I just love
it's
that.
True. I think you've, from as the beginning when I was watching, you were there. Yeah. You were always the constant that I would see, like to a point where like, I just always am like, well, you know, Shangela will be back.
But what I really liked about you, because when you first came on the scene, like your first season on Drag Race, you were kind of a newbie at the whole thing.
Oh, baby, I was a newbie. I walked in the door with a dream and no makeup on for a drag show.
But like, for me, that was so cool to watch because I feel like I've learned so much more about the drag community through that show. And it was cool seeing you kind of immerse yourself, and then over the years, like 8-9 years have passed, and you've just grown so much, like your community and everything. Yeah. It's just so cool. It's
especially
so
like
cool.
RuPaul made drag like a thing in culture, like instead of being like oh have you seen Paris is Burning, like having this like kind of niche subculture, like I kind of know, but
definitely.
That's not I'm not allowed, like I'm not okay to go see a drag show or something, like, you know, like people thought like, oh, I can't just go to it.
He brought it mainstream.
It's like, you can, it's actually like happening everywhere. You just gotta literally Google it. They're everywhere. You can go and experience these shows, and it's like, it's amazing what he did. And I do want to say, RuPaul did sit in that seat when he was here recording the podcast.
Is it still, what did she leave some money in it? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
You have a prize underneath the chair after the episode.
That was amazing.
I'm very thankful always to RuPaul and the producers and creators of the show RuPaul's Drag Race for what they have done for drag. But, you know, a bigger part of that also is I'm so thankful to just the drag culture. You know, before there was RuPaul's Drag Race, I remember going to a gay bar as an 18-year-old in Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. and seeing a drag show and being like, wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then getting to know a lot of the queens, a lot of the drag queens, a lot of the trans performers there, and them like really taking me as kind of like a little gay boy from a small town now living in the big city under their wing. And that's been a story with a lot of people. And it's nice that now, because of the popularity of RuPaul's Drag Race and the fact that it's on, you know, mainstream networks, VH1 and all around the world, that more people are invited to this world of entertainment, but also this world that's just been an incredible culture for years and years and years.
It's really inviting. And even just as someone like, I mean, I'm very passing as like I can be like a straight girl or whatever, but like I identify as queer, but I feel like even if I'm passing, the culture is so inviting and I've never felt othered or anything. Like, as long as you exude love, like, they will give it back, you know?
Right. Yeah. But, well, a lot of times, because in the drag community where we are and have been historically a marginalized community, even within the LGBTQIA plus community, that we do exude that love because we know what it's like to not have love, whether it's from families or from different people. So you go, all right, let's have a good, we're all just here to have a good time.
Yeah.
And a lot of drag queens are entertainers. So entertainers, once you come, don't be mad, don't be sad at the show. We want you to have a good time and tip.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that a lot of people more get to experience that. But it also, I hope that people remember that, you know, it's not just fun and games in this community. And I think that's what Drag Race helps to do, is shine a light on these people that are not just characters. Mm-hmm. Drag community is not just something that you go and like, oh, okay, that's cool over there, and oh, that's fun for just entertainment. But these are actual realized people.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, different relationships and triumphs, but also a lot of challenges in their life. And I think Drag Race gives you a good window to that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely. And also, you know, you grew up in Paris, Texas, right?
The big times, girl, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you grew in Paris, Texas.
You know me. Yeah. You know me. I always do that pause because, you know, some people, some, not a lot, would think I'm from France, but not when they hear me speak.
So what was that like? Like, so you're in Texas. You're starting, like, when did you really start to realize that you wanted to come out? Like, what was that whole experience like for you?
It must have been terrifying in a small town like that.
Well, I grew up in the household from the time that I was about 8 until I was 15 with my grandparents.
Okay.
Who were, my grandfather was a farmer in Paris, nicest guy ever, and who's passed. And my grandma, who's still with us, was a Southern Baptist church lady, okay?
Okay.
So I was in church every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And full-time
so,
job.
Girl, hello. I was the choir director at the time. At one point, I was playing the piano. I was a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
And when you grow up in that environment where religious faith and those ideals are, you hear them weekly, and a lot of times, all the time, it was never supportive of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So I was fearful about coming out and saying who I was, but I never dulled in a way who I was. I kind of just went with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't label it. I didn't name it. At the time, I didn't feel comfortable coming out, but I didn't know anything other than just being, you know, loud, fun, entertainment DJ. And I tried out for the cheerleading squad in my high school. There hadn't been a cheerleader at Paris High School since 1963. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I made the squad. And I remember everyone kind of like being a little nervous for me in my family, like, you sure you want to be a cheerleader?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I want to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I was a good cheerleader too. And that being said, though, I was very thankful that I had a lot of supportive friends around me who lifted me up. And even when people would, you know, say things about me or being gay or the fact that I was different, I didn't let that hold me back. I just kind of had a tunnel vision on, I want to be the best me, and I love who I am, and I'm not going to not share that.
Yeah.
And it didn't always feel comfortable. You know, you get in an environment like a lot at church. I was like, okay, I can tell people to look at me crazy, you know, but hey, I'm me.
Yeah.
And I think that who I am as a person kind of shined through that. And then when I came out to my mom in my senior year of high school, she was a military veteran, you know, and so she was very, like, you know, strict. But she was the sweetest lady. She still is the sweetest lady ever. And she was just like, I just need to know if you're gay or not. And I was like, and what if I am? And she was like, then you are. And I was like, okay, I am. Can we get lunch? And she was like, let's go to lunch. And that was it.
She just wanted you to say it to her, basically.
She totally did. She wanted, and now talking to her as an adult, I asked her, like, why weren't you, like, more supportive of me? You know, I was like, why didn't you tell me, if you knew this whole time, why didn't you ever bring it up to me earlier? And she was like, oh, I was a little nervous for you because being in the military, and it was during a time during Don't Ask, Don't Tell and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. She's like, I had tons of gay friends and the guys, and, like, there were just so many, they faced such discrimination a lot of times, and there was such scrutiny, and, like, even in the military, she was stationed in Germany at the time, and she was like, we would have military police, I would go to the club with them, and they would have to, like, walk, but me between the two guys, because people could be spying on you, reporting you, and telling on you, and that whole kind of thing. It was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but it was also Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Don't Let Us Catch You kind of thing, and she was like, I was nervous for you.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to go through that. Mm-hmm, and so I just waited until finally I was like, girl, I can't wait no more.
My mom has grown a lot. My parents, both our parents are immigrants, but I feel like my mom has really accepted me. But I think when I told her that I was queer, I think she was upset, not because I was queer, but because she had the same thing your mom said, like, she didn't want me to have a hard life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so, it's, because they see how other people struggle, and they just don't want the same struggle for their children. But ultimately, acceptance is how you, I mean, the fact that you were just yourself, and you being yourself made the church you were in just like, I accept you just as you are, and the gayness is just a part of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, my grandma especially, when I finally, I never came out to her per se when I was younger. I went to Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in LA when I first started drag. I started drag in 2009. I did my first show there. And 5 months later, I ended up getting cast on RuPaul's Drag Race season 2. And I remember I was the first one out. So I literally was there for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
One day to record interviews, 2 days to do the show, and then the next day I was back at the house.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, all right, I'm going to try and keep going with drag. But because I lived in L.A. and not in Texas, I felt there's no need for me to call and be like, by the way, everybody, I'm performing in drag. And
yeah.
So I didn't realize that it'd be such a big thing on TV. Yeah. So my grandma's neighbor, Ms. Jones, went over and so I was like, did you see your grandson on TV? He dressed as a woman.
Oh, my God.
And my grandma,
Jones.
She was sweet, though. She actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My grandma was like, what? And so, because she didn't have logo.
Yeah.
And, and I just remember my grandma calling me and being like, I'm really confused because some people are telling me that you're becoming a woman. And she didn't really understand the difference in gay and drag and trans. Mm. And she just didn't, it wasn't her world. She just had no clue. She was like, are you going to the grocery store with the wig on? I'm confused.
Yeah.
And, but it forced me, it was like a forced coming out almost.
Yeah.
Like getting caught making out with someone, you know, in the room.
Yeah.
And I had to, but it opened the opportunity for me to be able to explain to her what drag was. And I broke it down to her like this. I was like, Granny, you know how you like Miss Doubtfire? And she's like, oh, I love Miss Doubtfire. And I was like, okay, so it's kind of like Miss Doubtfire, but not exactly like Miss Doubtfire, but like that in a way because I dress as entertainment. It's what I love, but I'm also gay. And she was like, okay, and it was a journey, but I'm so proud that now today, I love telling this story. If you go to my granny's house, she got 4 pictures up on the wall, right, in her bedroom. There is JFK, MLK, Obama, and Shangela LaQuifa Wadley.
Yes,
and she always says, you know, my physical therapy man came the other day, and he looked at the wall and said, that's a beautiful young lady. I said, that's not a young lady. That's my grandson.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, you're a legend.
Just you've
like
come a long way.
Printed on the wall.
I know. I'm next to Obama. Okay.
Yeah, you can't get much better than that.
No.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you stand up for, you are you are an icon for most who can look up and be like, that's someone who is doing what they want. They're living their life. They're not letting anyone judge them. And you're amazing at it.
I mean, honestly,
like seeing how much energy and happiness and joy you bring, like it's awesome. You're like, hell yeah. You're a person of color. You don't need anyone's fucking judgment. You're doing whatever the fuck you want. And it's awesome. And it's like why we started this podcast, because we were like, technically, we are Middle Eastern women. We are not really allowed to speak up. Like,
what's your nationalities?
I'm Iranian.
And I'm Syrian.
You know, my dad's from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know that.
Ask you about it, because I Googled your background before coming here, to be honest. And I found out you were Saudi Arabian, and that makes your existence even more revolutionary than it already is. Like, the fact that you are Arab and a proud gay man, let alone, like, a proud, like, person of the drag community, that's fucking revolutionary.
That's huge.
It's absurdly amazing, and I can't get over it. I can't get over that you exist, and I know other people...
I don't.
No, but I'm serious, because your existence and your public persona and being out and having a platform makes it so other Arab boys, other Arab people in the queer community can like look at you and be like, if they can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, anyone who looks like you. Just the representation itself is so important. And it's, everyone who goes on RuPaul's Drag Race, a lot of them come from these backgrounds. And you're like, that's why the show is so good, because you're like, like me.
It's really cool. You know, a lot of people say things like, you know, icon, legend, representative, all that. And I appreciate it for sure. But I always am just like, that kind of blows me away, because I don't see myself in that way. I just see myself as someone that has pulled themselves up from, you know, I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. I was the first in my family to be able to go to college on a scholarship. I went on a leadership scholarship to SMU in Dallas. And I've worked just to get to this place, but I'm still working every day. Mm-hmm. And I take out the trash on a Tuesday, and I still have to, you know, do chores and different things to just keep life moving along. But I'm so thankful, because I do get these amazing messages from people online that may know about my background. And I don't claim to be the best Saudi representative either, because my dad left when I was 2, and I've never had a relationship with him, and don't really know if he's still alive or where he is. I've had no contact. At some point in my life, I kind of think I want to do one of those ancestry and like go and find that route. And there's a lot of questions there too. Like, I probably won't be accepted by his family, and maybe he'll be like excited to see me and then find out who I am and not be excited anymore. But honestly, that doesn't weigh on me as much as it used to as a kid because I'm so happy with who I'm at. I think that's what my grandma recognized and my mom and everyone is that when you are your authentic self, when you are out there being exactly who you are supposed to be in this world and you love every part of that and you embrace it and you're not afraid to share it, you're a happier person.
Yeah.
And anyone who loves you is going to want you to be happy.
Right.
You know? So I think that's what I hope to inspire more people even more. It's just, yeah, I do live a lovely life and I'm very happy. It's a lot of work, and more so than work, things will happen in your life that aren't always great. You know, I broke a leg on stage, okay?
Yeah, I was
performing. I went up for a death drop, came down, broke the tibia and fibula, which are my other drag names, tibia, fibula. I like that. But I had to come back. And you know, you just can't give up. And I hope that more people are inspired by that journey, hopefully.
Yeah.
God, those are great. Those are great words. On that note, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk about
that.
And we are back.
We're back.
The legend. The icon.
Yeah. The queen.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm glad.
You can eat your popcorn. We don't mind.
It's okay. Y'all, I'm so sorry. Listeners and everybody, these young ladies, these beautiful, fabulous ladies, gave me skinny pop popcorn, which they know that is my absolute favorite thing in the world, is to put a little extra salt on some skinny pop popcorn and go in, and I am popping myself, so forgive me for the chew. I'm going to step away
from
the chew.
No, it's like ASMR. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, but I'm glad you brought up when you broke your fibula and tibia.
Tibia and fibula.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to ask you about, because your death drops are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, I just remember it was a Cher song, like one of the Cher songs.
It was Believe.
Yeah. And you did, and you like were obviously the better performer in that one instance, probably all the instances. But, but you did this amazing, you did this amazing death drop, and being, I mean, the fact that you broke of like bones from doing that same move, like how did you learn to perfect it to the point where like you're not afraid to do it anymore? Or like that's like, I mean, that's just also a huge part, like a huge dance move in the drag like performance too.
Yeah. Okay. So number one, a lot of people ask me this. I did not create the death drop. I actually learned it, and it's been around for a very long time. People have called it different names, a dip and a thing comes from the ballroom scene and all that. But I remember the first time I did it backup dancing in Dallas for Asia O'Hara. You know, now y'all know Asia now, but I knew Asia way back when, before Drag Race for either one of us, okay? Asia used to rehearse for the pageants at Alyssa's studio in Dallas. That's how we all know each other for a long time. And so I was a backup dancer for Asia, getting ready for a drag pageant. And she taught me, look, we're going to all do this move. And I was like, I'm not falling down on my back like that girl. But we did, and we learned it. And so on season two, actually, even of Drag Race, not a lot of people know this, but during the lip sync between me and my good sister, Sahara Davenport, who has passed on, legendary, I did the death drop. And it wasn't a big thing, though. There was just like, boom, and then we went on. So no one really caught it. But then on season three in Believe, I did it against Carmen. So everyone was like, ooh, death drop. Michelle goes, you know, kind of thing. And then I ended up going on a show, the first season of a show called Dance Moms. Anybody know Dance Moms?
Yes.
And my friend John Carella was a producer of Dance Moms and said, do you have any music? Because it's the first season of a show. We don't have a lot of music for licensing, a lot of money for licensing. So I told him, I got a song called Call Me LaQuifa. And he was like, okay. So they used Call Me LaQuifa on the show. Well, it created controversy because Abby dressed Lil Nia in a little Afro wig. Oh. So John's like, well, we want you to come on and like, you know, show them LaQuifa, who she is. And I was like, all right. So I went in there and taught the little 9-year-old girls how to death drop, which then Nia took the death drop and just went on, you know, about it. Because so many dancers and dance kids watch death drop. I started seeing it in like cheer numbers, dance numbers.
It's an epic move.
Totally.
Like, it's a jaw-dropping move.
I'm not going to lie. I've tried to do it by myself and I'm like, I'm going to die. Yeah. I have this sort of flexibility.
Yeah, it's called death drop. I know why now.
I love it. But you see, I'm still alive. Now, when I did it in New York, this is in 2014, I believe. I was Halloween night, New York City. It was at an event. I remember JWoww and Snooki were there, okay? Ooh. I always say that, you know, they left drunk. I left with one leg. But anyhow, I was doing the move, and I didn't do it. There was a prop on stage. I went up, and I ended up hitting the prop on the way down, which caused the leg to release early, because there's a safe way to do it. You see Laganja does it. I do it.
Yeah.
And I ended up falling and crashing on my right leg, which broke both the tibia and fibula.
That's a crazy break.
Girl,
that must have taken
bones,
a while to recover.
Well, the bones both snapped through the skin, but they didn't come through my hose because, you know, I wear support hose.
Yeah. They snapped through the skin?
Yeah, both of them, like out here. And you'll notice, you can see here, I actually still have, because they had to put a titanium rod in this leg. So I have scars from where they put the titanium rod. I'm showing my scar right now. This is
that's
on
a big
both sides.
Oh my God, that's a huge scar.
Yeah, well, it was a huge break. And they had to put a titanium rod and two screws in the knee and two screws in the ankle. And I remember I was in physical therapy. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks at Lenox Hill. Shout out to the doctors at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. I had to go to physical therapy. So I went to Dallas, where my mom lives, so I could stay with my mom during the time of recovery. I went to a sports clinic there and had to really learn, like, how to get back up. Like, seriously, I went from being in the bed to being on a walker to then being on crutches to then being on a boot and then being able to walk again. And then I remember Alyssa called me. She said, oh, because it's my Alyssa Edwards. She said, Miss Shanji, girl. Now, girl, what you doing over there breaking your leg for, girl? Okay, yeah,
Oh, my God.
And then she was like, girl, you know we got this tour. We're going to Australia in March, girl. It's the House of Edwards. Me, you, and Laganja, okay? You got to come over here. Your sister Laganja's going with us down there, yeah? So you're going to have to get back up, girl. And I was like, well, I have a broken leg, and it's just December. She was like, well, girl, you got 3 months to figure it out. And so I started working really hard in physical therapy. Yeah. And I remember I told the doc was like, well, you probably won't be able to dance again until like August of next year. And I was like, yeah, I got a tour in March. So he's like, are you trying to negotiate your recovery time here? But that being said, I've worked really hard and I went back on that tour in March.
Wow.
Whoa. We went down to Austria. I couldn't even wear heels. I wore flat boots with sequin covers over them.
Okay.
And I did the death drop at our last stop in Perth. Where's Fluffy? In Brisbane.
Okay.
And I remember Alyssa saying to me, girl, what the flying fuck are you doing out there, girl? Falling on your back again with one leg. And I just had to answer your question, I had to do it again in order to overcome the fear in my head. I didn't want anything stopping me. When I'm on stage, I feel fearless.
Yeah.
You know, Beyonce, when she fell down a whole flight of steps, broke some teeth, bloody nose, didn't ring the alarm in Orlando once, she kept going.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to have, that feeling of I can come through anything. And I did. And I'm back.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Like, 3 months is not a long time.
Yeah.
No, no, it wasn't. And trust me, I would be like on stage doing the number, and then I would have to have that wheelchair assistance in the airport going from like plane to plane.
It's like the things that the audience does not see. So it's like, you don't understand like what it took for me to get here.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Truly what you do for the art.
Yeah.
It's like you have to suffer. You got to make it work.
But it's also like when you're not on that leg for such a long time, like the muscles like kind of like become weaker and everything. So the fact that they were able to not only recover in that amount of time, but like perform, that's amazing. That just speaks like volumes about your character and your will. I love it.
Well, and people, and I realized, especially in being in the hospital for 3 weeks, because I don't know if you guys have ever been in a hospital for an extended amount of time, but when I was there, you meet so many people like on your floor, because I would try to like, they would say, you need to get up and walk down the hallway and back. Yeah. So, you know me, I'm friendly. I'm looking at everybody's room like, hey, girl, what y'all in here doing? And you just meet so many different people that are going through a lot of different struggles in their lives. And we all go through individual struggles in our lives that people don't even get to see, that maybe not be physical. But it really made me appreciate my ability to bounce back. And the fact that I had, okay, I broke a leg. At least that can heal in a way if you work hard on it. So I think the gratitude also made me work harder, because I'm like, you know what? You can do this.
Right.
And you should be thankful that you can do this and not gripe and complain. And I also have to shout out my mom. She was there like the whole 3 weeks I was in the hospital. And like, I was like, mom, you know, I got Drag Race money. You can get a hotel across the street. And she, not winner money, but I got Drag Race money. And she was like, no, she slept in that little like extended chair thing for 3 weeks. Like, I want to be here, you know, in case you wake up or in case the nurse started doing their job.
Best.
Totally. My, I lucked out.
Yeah. Mom, I mean, I feel like we all lucked out. I don't know what it is, but we got lucky.
They come through. They're hard on you, but then they come through.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, your mom was in the military. That's intense.
Right. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like her momager. Like, I'm like, mom, did you take your insulin today? Mom, have you eaten the meals? You're supposed to be eating 3 meals a day. Mom, also, you have a to-do list of 14 things that you need to get done today. Have you done them? I'm the Kris Jenner, okay?
I do want to bring up something. You brought up Beyonce, and I think talking about bringing drag to the mainstream, you had a performance at the GLAAD Awards, the GLAAD Media Awards, in front of Beyonce, doing a Beyonce-like medley. that performance, like, obviously was phenomenal, but I remember watching it and the camera went to Beyonce's face and then back at you performing, and it was phenomenal because, like, she was like beaming just seeing this like rendition of her songs and her performances, and I just think it was so cool to see. I mean, obviously RuPaul's Drag Race is a huge part of that, but you continuing to bring it to the mainstream and like, how, what was that like to perform not only that medley but in front of Beyonce herself? That must have been wild.
It really was. Like, I just, it happened all so fast too. Mm-hmm. GLAAD, great organization, they were like, originally I was just booked to come and help co-host the live auction, mm-hmm. or paddle race they call it there.
Yeah.
And that was on a Friday, right? So the GLAAD Awards are that following Thursday. On Friday, during the conference call with everyone, we're going over like, here's what you do then inside the auction. Like, you know, we have another moment in the show. Would you be interested, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z are being honored. I'm like, I know. I'm so excited. I'm going to be in the same room with Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And they were like, would you be interested in doing like a Beyonce song for her? And I'm like, and I told them, guys, she'll never go for it.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, you know, an artist at that huge mm-hmm. level, not going to be, if you pitch an idea, hey, you want this drag queen mm-hmm. come out and do a number for you, that kind of thing. And I was like, it's not going to happen. But sure, of course, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Monday, they call me. They're like, Beyonce and her team greenlit it. So if you can get us a song, we'd appreciate that. I'm like,
so casual. Just
I was like, what? Yeah. What? Yeah. And I literally was like, okay, it's time to go into like go mode. Because I just didn't want to get up there and do one Beyonce song mm-hmm. and like, you know, just like a regular show night.
Yeah.
It was Beyonce. The first number I ever performed in drag in 2009 was Beyonce's Single Ladies.
Right.
I traveled the world doing Beyonce in a lot of my numbers and shows. And because of her music, okay, I'm gushing now. I'm
no,
so sorry.
No, please continue.
But because of her music and what she's done and the fact that she showed up to work and she's been creative and she's created these amazing things, songs, I've been able to connect with people. Now, they may not get to see Beyonce, but they saw mm-hmm. Shangela, which was close to Beyonce, okay?
Yeah.
So that being said, she's allowed me to connect with so many people around the world. So I couldn't just go out there and do a number. I had to make this, like, I wanted to pay homage to her. Mm-hmm. This is the one time that I'd never met her before, mm-hmm. ever. Not a meet and greet at a show, nothing. She gave me her towel once at a concert. I thought, oh, she knows me. She didn't know me. So I was like, oh my God, like, I'm getting hot in the face. But it was so cool to be able to do that. So I was like, okay, guys, I told the GLAAD team, I want to make an intro video for it. And they're like, okay, what's it gonna be about? I was like, I don't know yet, but it's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
So I worked with my friend Joella Puss, and we created like the music mix, and I worked with my friend Deckel. We created a video that just honored her and Jay-Z, and they're giving back mm-hmm. to the community and that kind of thing to open it.
Yeah.
And then instead of one song, Chop Please, I did an 8.5 minute medley. Okay. I was like, we doing all the Beyonce. We doing a whole Super Bowl and extra.
Yeah.
And I just remember I got the dancers together, all my friends came together, and Mike Salas, our choreographer, and really, we just jumped in and went hard for it. And we've only had two rehearsals really.
Wow.
We had Tuesday night and Wednesday. We went for the walkthrough on stage on Thursday day, and we did the show for Beyonce Thursday night. That was it.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. But, you know, these are the things, like, one, I had been preparing somewhat in a way for this moment my whole life, mm-hmm. my whole drag career at least. And another thing was, you know, when the opportunity comes, you either show up or you ship mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
And, bitch, I was showing up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, and I didn't want anyone to tell me. When she went out there, my assistant Liam, I was like, don't let nobody tell me.
Yeah.
But people kept coming to me right before it started and were like, just so you know, they just set Beyonce down at her table.
Oh my God.
And she's to the left. So don't be nervous, but she's out there for you. She's out there. And because I thought, well, maybe she'll stay in the back and watch it on like a TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, she came out there, and she has great people on her team. My friend Raquel does her makeup, and Caleb, her assistant, they both were saying, like, she's interested to see this. And I'm like, okay, guys, don't make me nervous.
Yeah.
But when you know, as a performer, when you go to the stage, you just leave it. It's going to be what it's going to be. Do your best. And that's what I did. And I remember coming back, and offstage, I literally collapsed backstage.
Oh, my God.
And people were like, it was so good. I was like, laying on the floor. And so I hadn't seen any of the reaction with the cameras going to her. I just knew that at the end, I kind of looked in her direction because I, like, bowed and blew a kiss. And she and Jay-Z were standing. And I'm like, did they get the fuck up? Did they get up? Like, what? It was so, like, my team and I, we were, like, fifth graders at the party. I mean, like, we had just done the choir solo and nailed it. So we were back there, like, high-fiving and screaming. And the glad people were like, okay, can y'all move? We got more stuff to do back here. But it was really cool.
Did you get to meet her afterwards?
Did you get to meet her? Oh, God, I didn't get to tell y'all this. Yes, I did. So I thought that was it, right? Yeah. I thought maybe we'll get a picture. I don't know. Well, first, she gets on stage. And I'm like, I'm not standing in the green room. I ran out there. And I was, like, I'm crouching, you know, because I wanted to be in the room with Beyonce and Jay-Z when they gave their speeches. And she said, you know, tonight it's been so great. Let me do my Beyonce.
Oh, my God. Please.
Wow. You know, tonight it's been... Oh, I can't do Beyonce. Anyway, she was like, tonight it's been so great.
Yeah.
I didn't expect any of this. I already put a run in my stockings from Shangela. And I was like, she said my name! She said my
That's
name!
Amazing.
It was so cool. And then afterward... we go backstage and like the publicist, her amazing publicist Yvette, grabs me and Jennifer Lewis and Lena Waithe, who are all back there, and like, Beyonce wants to meet you guys. Oh. So we all go to this like private hotel suite where they have like good lighting and a backdrop set up.
Yeah.
And we go in there and we're like in line, sitting in the room, like, oh my God, we're gonna meet Beyonce. And I'm standing next to Jay-Z and y'all, I don't think I've told anyone this. I'll tell you today. It was kind of awkward, not bad awkward, but just like I'm there in drag and I'm standing next to Jay-Z, who's awesome, but he's like just standing in the corner, like chill. He's like not into like doing all the pictures and stuff. He's just like hanging out. So he's like, yo, what's up? And I was like, hi. Oh my God. And I was like, you know, I came to your concert once and I was jumping and I think you told me from the stage, yo, man, not yet. And I was like, and he was like, okay, cool, cool. And then I was like, it is like awkward silence for a moment. And then I'm like, So, you know, I'm from Texas. You're from New York, right? And he was like, yo, man, Brooklyn's whole different, very different. I was like, oh, of course, duh. You know, wow. And I'm like standing there, I'm like, okay, say something smart, Shan. Just say something funny, you know, something. Because it's still like Beyonce's like meeting other people, so I'm waiting.
But were you still in the Beyonce, like,
outfit? I was in my hot pink dress.
That must have been so funny to talk to Jay-Z.
Yes, in drag, as Beyonce, right. I was in Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at it. I said, yeah, you know, my mom's a lesbian, too. And he was like, okay. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to walk off now. I had nothing to give. But he was really nice and, like, just chill. And then I got to go over to Beyonce. And she literally, like, she beams. Like, her smile is so, like, authentic nice. You're like, oh, homegirl, what's up?
Yeah.
So I literally, did you see the picture? There's a picture of me.
I don't think I did.
Oh, my gosh. There's a picture of when I met Beyonce on my Instagram that the photographer snapped. It's better than, like, even a smiling, like, staring at the front type photo. This is it right here. I'm going to show you guys. And you can go to my Instagram at itsshangela and scroll down. Look.
That's like genuine laughter and happiness.
Yeah, she was like so nice. She was like, I loved it. I really did. You were in it. She told me, she goes, I could tell in your face, like you were making these faces. You were in it. You were in it.
It almost looks like a Photoshop, like, this is Beyonce, like, in a different time. This is Beyonce.
That's such a
cute picture.
Oh my gosh.
She looks so genuinely happy.
She was so nice. Yeah. I even told her, girl, I'm going to Popeyes after this. She was like, ooh, I wish I could go, too. I was like, thank you. Like, she was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And even to this day, like, she had the Before I Let You Go challenge thing for the song that's from the Homecoming album. And I had a big production party event at White Party Palm Springs, and I performed it on stage and did the thing, and then she reposted it on her Instagram, like the video of us doing it, and I was just like,
that's amazing.
Oh, thank
she's
you,
like a
Beyonce.
Genuinely supportive person.
Yeah. And she really, like, you know, it meant a lot to me for her to be at the GLAAD Awards, to accept the award, not just because she was being awarded. She had a story and a relationship with the gay community, and she wanted to honor everyone in the community for supporting her for so many years and the love that we've given her. And she's talking about her uncle who was gay and who had taught her to be fierce and fabulous, and, you know, her Uncle Johnny. And it was just like, yes, you know. And sometimes we don't see celebrities who we love and support, like, come out in strong support of the gay community.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of, other than when the gay pride, gay marriage thing passed and Beyonce did the video of her with the rainbows, I don't have this huge recollection of her, you know, being a just advocate like a Lady Gaga out there for the gays. But she definitely, it was an authentic connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's like, I definitely appreciate this and the support, and I'm for you. And she's like, love is love. Mm-hmm. And she, I remember her speech. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And she was just saying, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's Beyonce. She was like, it don't matter who you love, who you marry or who ass you take to Red Lobster. I was like, yes! Yes! I love that.
That's
so
a,
good.
That's a true ally.
Yeah,
that's a
true for ally. Sure. Yeah. For sure.
Wow. Yeah. Let's. Should we take another quick commercial break?
Yeah, another quick commercial break. We're right back.
Shangela.
And we are back with Shangela, aka DJ Pierce.
Yeah, so you have a new podcast out. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm crunching popcorn. yes, I do. It's called Shangela. Mm-hmm. And the first 5 current episodes that are out and another one coming next week are She-Cap recaps, I call them, from Game of Thrones. So they're all about Game of Thrones. Whether you've seen the show or you just like it or you just like hearing me talk, you'll like these. They're fun. And I have special guests that come and chat with me. My drag daughter, Liam, is there, and mm-hmm. we talk about Game of Thrones. Yeah. Now, after the Game of Thrones is over, don't think I'm going nowhere, honey. I got a new podcast called Shangela, and it's the full version now. And we have special guests weekly, and we talk about a lot of pop culture stuff. And Andy Cohen's my first guest on the show.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I've got others lined up. Jennifer Lewis, Lena nice. Waithe, Ryan O'Connell from the Netflix show Special.
Yeah.
That's coming over. So it's going to be really fun. Yeah. I hope you guys will come listen. I'm on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can get free podcasts, honey. Yeah.
When you were telling the Beyonce story and you were saying that you were with Jennifer Lewis and Lena Waithe, I was just like, what a cool group of people to be associated with.
Baby, let me tell you. Yeah. You know, Lena Waithe and I have known each other for so long. We both moved to L.A. around the same time. We were both Lena was a writer's assistant. And I remember she was working with BET Girlfriends, the show. And she's working with Mark Brown. Mark Brown is best friends for 30-plus years with Jennifer Lewis. And when I first moved to L.A., I worked as a second assistant, then moved to the first assistant for Jennifer Lewis. So they were like, well, you guys are our assistants. You should know each other. So Lena and I became really good friends, where my car ran out of gas on the 101. Lena showed up with a red can to help me get some gas and fill it with. Like, she's my homegirl. I helped her move, like, when she moved apartments. Like, so to see us now and at this place where we are in our careers, and I remember her looking at me when we were in the room, and she's like, yo, can you believe we like meeting Beyonce together right now? And I was like, I know, right? Me and drag and her. And it was just so cool. Like, I know how hard she's worked and how hard she continues to work. And she's also still a very humble, down-to-earth friend who's down to help anybody. I bet if I ran out of gas tomorrow, I'd be like, Lena, she'd be like, yo, you ain't fixed this yet.
I love to hear that. Yeah. I love that you guys have been friends for so long. And she's like, I love that connection.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then Jennifer in the room. You know Jennifer is Jennifer Lewis, okay? Yeah. So she walks in and she sits down on the couch and she's taking her gloves off because she looks like gloves. She's like, and she's going, Jay-Z, 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 come here, Jay-Z. And I'm like, oh my God, did you just beckon Jay-Z over? Like, what? It is Jennifer Lewis, though. And they loved it. Beyonce loved meeting Jay-Z. I'm sure she loved that, too. But meeting Jennifer, because I was telling her, like, oh, I'm from Texas also, Beyonce. And she's like, oh, I know. Jennifer already told me your whole life story.
That's so nice. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome that you and Lena Waithe came up together. Did you see her wearing the drag queen's created camp at the Met Gala?
Invented it.
Yeah.
Invented it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I did. And Lena is always, not only does she represent such a strong person in the LGBTQ community, such an inspirational person, but she also always has a message. Yeah. She wants to walk out there with purpose. And that's what she inspires me. Like, we text all the time. I'm like, hey, girl, where you at? I'm coming over. Were y'all in town? You know, her and her girlfriend, Alana. And it's just like, she inspires me on a daily because I know how hard she works. And she's out there, like, just pushing boundaries and doing it. And she could go in just a regular outfit. She don't have to make a statement. She's not doing it to try and get press. I mean, she's working. She's leaning away. She got shows on TV. Yeah, she's, you know, working as an actress. She's about to be on Westworld, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yes, she just got cast for the new season of Westworld.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's my home grind. I don't think I ain't going on set, okay? I'm going, Lena, you better put me up, drive on, buddy pass. She works really hard. So it's really cool to be in this moment right now. Because she always tells me, yo, you working. Because I'm like, oh, my God, I love you so much. You're doing so much. She's like you sitting at home not doing nothing. She's like, we are doing it for the culture. And I love that.
She's just a huge inspiration. I'm obsessed with her.
Wait, okay. So before we end, I want to talk about Star is Born really
quickly. I got to go? I don't want to go. I'm having so much fun with y'all.
Well, hey, look. It's like your heart minutes. Out. Okay. I would keep you here all day if I could.
I love it. Okay, let's go.
So how did they come to you about, like, how did they find you guys for Star Is Born? Like, they just come out and be like, do you guys want to do this scene? Like, are you interested in being, like, part of that, the movie? Like, how did that come about?
I can't believe that I haven't talked about one of the biggest moments of my life, which is being a part of the movie A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
It's funny how I don't know how everyone got cast. It's a major motion film. Yeah. There was auditions and casting. But I remember when the audition first came around for the drag roles, and they were looking for a Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
Okay.
And I was like, it didn't matter how much time I spent out of the sun, I ain't gonna little day, I'm Marilyn Monroe. So I was like, I'm not going in. I'm a drag queen, we do characters, but if they're looking for spot on Marilyn, I ain't getting that role.
Yeah.
So I didn't go in.
Yeah.
And I remember I got an email from Bobby Campbell, amazing manager of Lady Gaga, and really nice guy and great friend. And Bobby emailed me because we had met at a party thing. And he's like, hey, you know, they're doing auditions right now for A Star Is Born. Gaga, you know, he says, LG heard that you didn't go in and wanted to know why you didn't go in.
Yeah.
Like, she would love to see you for this role. And I'm like,
Wait, she knows who I am?
Yeah, because, you know, in 2013, I did the lyric video for Applause.
Oh.
And she actually came and filmed the video herself.
Oh, nice.
And that's where we met. We met backstage, and she was so nice. And so she remembered me from that. I had no other interaction with her since then. And she remembered me and was like, why don't we get, I didn't see Shangela. Where's Shangela?
Yeah.
So Bobby said, LG wanted you to come in. And honey, if LG asked, I went to Hollywood Toy and Costumes, got that little white dress. I had me a blonde Marilyn wig done. And I went in there and I remember I sang, I Want to Be Loved by You. And after the audition, I remember getting a call from my agent and he said, so you didn't get the role. And I'm like, oh, damn, I thought I did a good job. But hey, it's okay. I went in. He's like, but they really loved you a lot, you know, in just the conversation that you had with them. And actually, they want to offer you a larger role that has a speaking part and all that. And I was like, what?
Oh, that's
so amazing. That's how I ended up getting the role of the drag bar owner in the film. And then when I found out I was going to be working with Willem in the scenes, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy because we already worked together in Hurricane Bianca. We're friends. And so it was great. And to be on set and have someone like Bradley Cooper as your director to say to you, like, you know, he knew everything that he wanted from the scene. He knew the drag world. He had understood all that and did his research and all that. But he also told us, bring your authenticity to it. And if you go too far, I'll pull you back. And he never had to pull us back.
Wow.
And I was so happy to see then when watching the movie that every scene that we shot made it onto the in the
Amazing.
Film. Even the comeback scene that we shot on the little iPhone thing, I was like, okay, well, we're gone after the beginning. And then we come back and I was like, what? Yeah. This scene too?
That's so amazing.
So cool. And I saw Gaga recently in Las Vegas. I went to see her.
Enigma?
I saw both nights, honey. Yeah. I saw Enigma and I saw the Jazz and Piano Show, which I recommend to everybody to see both nights because they're both equally amazing. Yeah. I thought, okay, Jazz and Piano, I'm going to sit back and be like, yay. But no, it was lit. Yeah. And she is lit. She is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So, but I ran into her at Sarah. Sarah is Lady Gaga's makeup artist. Amazing. Shout out Frederick. Shout out Sarah. Hair and makeup. And Sarah had a birthday party the night before the concert. So I was like, oh, I love Sarah. I'm going to go to her birthday party. So we went down to this random bar in downtown Vegas, old Vegas, you know. Walk in, Lady Gaga just chilling at the bar. Like, there wasn't like a huge, like, she was low key enough that. No, and this was like a dive bar, so no one, it was like paparazzi and all that, like no one was bothering her. She was just like, hey, girl. And she was like, Shangela, we were just talking about you. She was like, you need your own Las Vegas residency.
Ooh.
And I was like, I wanted to say like, oh, I had one back in 2014. You didn't come, apparently, but no, she was like, you do. And I was like, oh my God, like, I would go back to Vegas for a Gaga produced Shangela show or Gaga presents Shangela in Las Vegas, living. And she even said it the next night during the Enigma concert. You know, she's on the piano and she shouts people out. She's done it for Alaska. She's like naming everyone who's there. She's like, yeah, Gail King is here, Rita Ora's here, and my girl Shangela. And I was like, what? And then she goes, who, by the way, deserves her own residency in Las Vegas? I'm like, what is life right now? Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, amazing. It was so cool.
That's so surreal.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I almost fainted, girl. Literally. Like, I almost passed out.
That I, you know what? I really love Lady Gaga, especially after I watched her 5'2 documentary. Like, I was like, this is a true performer. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. She gets the art of performance.
Yeah, if you go to her show, you feel it. Yeah. You feel that she's giving, and both nights, like, you just put on an amazing concert, and then you're going to turn around and give us a whole different show the next night, but it's because she knew what she wanted to convey. It's like how I feel like when I just hosted the New York GLAAD Awards. They invite, because of LA and how well that went, the GLAAD organization and Sarah Kalis, their president, everyone was so nice. They were like, would you like to host the GLAAD Awards? I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I would love to. But in addition to that, I wanted to add a whole bunch of layers to it that really made it feel Shangela.
Yeah.
You know, I know how to put on a show, and I wanted to bring that experience that I've had, you know, into this hosting job. And they were really nice to me because I threw a lot at them. Like, I want to do an opening video with Ross, and I want to also, I want to do that out of drag, and I want to come on, I want to do a Broadway number, and then I have two dances. Then I want to do a Vogue number with four dances, and Madonna's going to be there, so I'm going to dress as Madonna. And I also want to change into different Christian Siriano and August Getty looks throughout the whole night. And they were like, okay, sure. And like trying to sell that to a room full of, you know, corporate or, you know, executives. Y'all know.
Yeah.
Like you have these crazy wild ideas. But they took the ride with me and it ended up, came out cool.
I'm just so excited to see what you're going to do next because you had a tour last year, like a theater tour.
Was it? I did, A Shangela Shook 90-Minute Cabaret and I did 184 cities, both performance in that show around the world. Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see what's next. Is there something that we should be on the lookout for? Is there something, what's next for you? Other than the podcast. The podcast I'm really excited for.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the podcast, check that out for sure. And then I'm just really trying to grow. You know, I love performing, but I've had to take a step back from touring every other day so that I can try to expand, you know, who I am and work in other areas that I've always wanted to work with. Right now, I'm co-writing a film with my friend Deborah Dean Davis. So I can't tell you much more than that, but keep an eye out at some point for that. Yeah, I've always wanted to work as a writer as well. So I'm going to write and also acting. I'm out there auditioning, looking for new jobs. If you're hiring, I'm available and I'm based in Los Angeles.
Well, you've been in the Oscar award-winning film A Star Is Born, so I think you're on the way up.
Well, I'm just
excited.
We
will write a movie for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You have convinced us.
We're going to write a movie. Writing a movie right now.
Skinny Pop is in my rider, just so you know.
Just all of Crafty is just Skinny Pop.
Just Skinny Pop with salt. With salt. Mm. Yeah.
That's exciting. I can't wait to see what else you bring to us.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled to have you here. I'm still in disbelief.
You're such a
genuine person.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Your energy is so amazing. Like I was, you know, when you're like dealing with like booking and stuff, you don't know how it's going to go because you deal with everyone's like people. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh God, I hope they like me. And then the minute you walked in, you were into my puppy Ace. You like loved him.
Oh, I love your puppy
so
Ace.
So friendly. And I was like, like you feel your heart warms when someone is just like a good, genuine person, you know? And it's hard. It's LA.
But like you're just like a professional, but you're also just genuine and you're a light. You're a light in the world. And I can't wait to see where you go.
Thank you. I think it's really cool just to be where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I would have never wanted to get to this place by like overnight kind of thing. And I think that's really cool that my fans and people who follow me can see that, like, Shangela's doing all this awesome stuff, but guys, she worked to get there.
Yeah.
And they got to witness that journey and come along with me on it. We don't always know everyone's story, but mine got lived out in television and publicly, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful that it happened to me in this way. Along the journey, sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, I'm just working every day. I don't know what I'm doing. But it's really cool to get here and be in this moment right now. Yeah. And I'm just taking it on in. I'm journaling. You know, I interviewed Andy Cohen, and he was like, you need to write a book. And I was like, Andy, I ain't got no time. But he was like, you should just journal and write. Yeah. You have amazing stories that you probably should share.
You're going to have a book. I'm gonna have the book and the audiobook. I'm gonna listen to you tell your own book to me. I just can't wait for that.
You have got to do your own audiobook.
Speak it, y'all. Thank you, baby.
We're putting it out here now. If Shangela does not read her own audiobook. There will be riots.
I will quit.
You know, Jennifer Lewis. Jennifer wrote her book, The Mother of Black Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they were gonna have someone else read it, and she was like, "Oh no, hell no."
Yeah.
She was like, "I'm Jennifer Mumba Lewis. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna save my book." And she would come home because I still live with her in her basement. I'm not leaving until she throws me out.
Why would you?
I know, yeah. Right? And she said she would come home from recording, and she's like, "I gotta tell you this story." So, you know, I'm Jennifer Lewis. So she's a larger than life personality, mm-hmm. and she's one of my greatest mentors. And she's like, I'm in the booth, and they're telling me, like, but Jennifer, these people are listening to it, like, in their car. So you have to come down. Like, yeah. You have to come back down. And she's like, oh. And then she was like, I had this sweet older lady who was, like, doing the recording, the mm-hmm. producing. And she would be like, and she goes, I'm Jennifer Lewis. The book says motherfucker like 95,000 yeah. times. And the lady would go, Jennifer, could we take it from motherfucker, please?
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Great. So
I
good.
Okay,
where can people find you?
Oh, just girl on the street corner, probably dancing and death dropping. But if you want to come find me online on my socials, I'm at It's Shangela, ITS Shangela on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, and all that fun stuff. My podcast, of course, called Shangela on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify, wherever free podcasts are, honey.
Yeah.
Come on through. And on my website, Shangela.com, where you can get some cool merch, some Daenerys shirts that might be on sale, depending on how the finale goes, but we will see.
This is going to come out after the finale, and I'm pretty sure you're going to
have it
on sale.
It might come out before. It might come out before. We'll chat.
Okay.
We'll see.
Wait, it's on Sunday. It's not going to happen.
Well, I will tell you, whenever it comes out, just come and buy some of my merch.
Yeah,
y'all know I've been to Drag Race 12 times. They never won, so just come on over and give your sister $20.
But thank you so much for being here. Should we say our socials?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me at Anna Hosnier.
You can follow me at ShiroHero on Instagram and ShiroHero666 on Twitter. You can follow the podcast, Ethically Am, A-N-B, on Twitter, Ethically Am Big, A-N-B-I-G, on Instagram. We're also everywhere.
AmbiguousPod.com.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Free podcasts exist. Listen to both us and Shangela's podcast.
We had Shangela on Ethnically Ambiguous, so goodbye. The show's ending.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
I'm going to go collapse in faith. Goodbye.
I'm going to eat.